Skipping a few things, but we are in 5 tonight, and just want to remind you that Daniel and the Israelites are in captivity in Babylon, and so Nebuchadnezzar was in charge for many years, and now there's another king. They're in this 70-year captivity, and this is a part of it. And now we have another king that succeeded after a few other kings. And so now we have Belshazzar, who is king, and we'll get a little bit more into that. But so I want to share with the story tonight that if I was, this is the writing on the wall, and that's what the scriptures call it, the writing on the wall chapter, and I kind of call it the party is over. So the party time is over. God calls it out, and so we're going to see this in Daniel chapter 5. I ask you a couple questions. Have you ever woke up and said, you don't have to raise your hand, but you ever woke up and said, man, I guess the hangover is pretty rough? Or have you said things like, what did I do? Why did I do that? Can't believe I did that. I was so stupid for doing that. And we all can say, yep, that was me. Man, I got some regrets. I should have not have done that. And maybe you felt shame and you felt regret for doing those things. I'm going to remind you, you're not the only ones. But this is a story tonight about a king who was rich, who had a lot of power, but he was prideful in it. And we know that the previous king had did that as well, but this was a foolish king. This was a foolish king, Belshazzar, and he just messed a lot up. He did not take things serious. He didn't really take his life serious. So tonight I want to remind you of this. You can choose your sin, okay? You can choose your sin and you can do it, but you cannot choose your consequences. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. Means you can choose what you do, but if you stand before the judge at the courthouse, you don't get to pick your sentence. You don't get to pick your consequences. You can choose what you do, but you can't choose your consequences. And so tonight we're going to see an individual that chose to do what he wanted to do, and he did not get to choose his consequences. So we're going to be in Daniel chapter 5. He starts in verse 1. King Belshazzar held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine in their presence. Under the influence of the wine, Belshazzar gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels that his predecessor Nebuchadnezzar, some versions might say his father Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles and his wives and concubines could drink from them. So they brought in the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles and wives and concubines drank from them. And they drank the wine and praised their gods, which were made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Father, open our hearts tonight that we may learn from your word and grow in our walk with you. In Christ's name, amen. What we see here now, King Belshazzar has got himself a party going. Unlike any party you've ever been to, there is 1,000 people at this party. And it is a luscious party because a king only gets the best. So anything and everything he wanted is going to be laid out in front of him. And he decides he is going to invite his friends. He is inviting the nobles. He's inviting these other politicians. He's inviting these others. He's inviting all these women, these wives, these concubines, all those things that's going on. He has 1,000 people at his party. Could you imagine what that would cost? Could you imagine that kind of a party? Could you imagine that getting out of hand real quick? They brought out the wine. Could you imagine that getting out of hand real quick? This party got out of hand real quick. So 1,000 people. Have you ever been to a party where it's a Christian people and they have a party and people go, oh, that party's boring? I can tell you that party is a safe party. Should be a safe party. Amen. That party should be, everybody should be driving home safely. Everybody comes safely. Everybody should be driving home non-intoxicated. And people should go home joyful. And they should remember the party the next day. Right? They should remember the party the next day. This is a party that's going to crash and burn tonight. This is a party that's going to get as ugly as a party could ever get. And so 1,000 people are at this party, and they've got the wines, and it says he started getting intoxicated. And so he is kind of co-regent king right now. His father is really a king, and he's out doing other things. So he is the king right here, for the moment right here. And so he is doing his thing, and he says, go get the silver and gold cups and the goblets, and I want you to go get those sacred items that Nebuchadnezzar took out of Jerusalem, out of the temple, and they're all stored up, and now he's going to bring them in, and they're going to party with them. It's almost like, have you ever had something that your parents said you knew what you were not supposed to touch in the house as a kid? It might be a china cabinet. You don't touch that stuff. It might be up above on the shelf, on the top shelf. You don't go there. And so you knew that if you broke it, you were in trouble. Well, this individual says, I'm going to bring out all of it. So they bring it out. So the king and his nobles and all of his concubines, it was a wild party. And they were there, and they began drinking out of the cups that were set aside for God's temple. Now, God has disciplined his people. He allowed them to be captive because he needed to bring their hearts back to him. But that doesn't change the fact that the things that they had were sacred. The things that people had prayed over, they were sacred. And so these items are special items. So these are the sacred cups and the goblets of the Lord's temple. But they begin to do something. They begin to drink out of them, getting drunk with them. And they begin to, now they begin to call upon their gods of the silver, the gods of gold, the gods of iron, and all those things. And they begin to do that kind of worship and partying to these gods that they had made up. And so we see that they begin to drink, and the concubines begin to drink. The concubines were not wives, but they were attached to a guy. They were attached to, these concubines were used to do servant stuff. They were sexual. They were all these things, but they didn't have the rights of a wife. And so somehow this is what was going on in that time. And they drank the wine and they praised their gods. The night is getting heated up, and they are getting drunk, and they are going and doing all kinds of things. I want to remind you that when you go to church, God sees you going to church. You know that, right? God sees it. When you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, God knows when you're at. He knows when, he even knows when we're at parties that we shouldn't be at. He knows when we're at places that we shouldn't be at. And here it is. The party is going on. There is something else going on too, but he doesn't care. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. He doesn't care. And then we go to verse 5. Something is getting ready to happen. So we see this depravity, this corruption, this morality is going on, this sacrilege, which means these are items that are set aside for, these are sacred items. They're just being used for all kinds of things. And so I want to remind you, there are worship, they're doing their thing with their gods. Everybody here, we serve someone. We serve something. Hopefully tonight that you serve God in your life, that you serve Christ in your life. But if you don't serve Christ in your life, you may serve knowledge. You may serve education. You may serve whatever it may be. You could be whatever. And you can even serve yourself. You can even be serving your own. It could be all about yourself. You will serve something. Because God created us to serve him, to worship him. You will worship something. And tonight, I pray that you worship God. Verse 5, we move into this. And something begins to happen. The party is getting ready to make a major shift and a change. Verse 5. And at that moment, the fingers of a man appeared and began to write on the plaster of the king's palace, on the wall of the lampstand. So this is where we get the phrase, the writing on the wall. Now, can't you see the writing on the wall? Can't you see the writing on the wall means it's right in front of you, man. You should see it. You shouldn't be doing stupid stuff. We know that when our kids are 10 and 12 years old, 13, they're going to do silly things. But as we grow, we should know that we should be beyond some of those things. And the writing on the wall means, man, you know you were drinking and you started driving and you didn't think you were going to get caught. Come on, man. You knew better than that. You can't keep gambling and you never get caught. But he says this. So he sees his hand and it's writing on the wall, and it's right on the king's palace wall next to the lampstand. And as the king watched the hand that was writing, his face turned pale. Now, some people say, oh, he was drunk and he was just seeing this. No, everybody saw it. Everybody sees it, okay? This isn't something that he just sees because he's intoxicated. But it says the king watched the hand. So there was this hand, it's the only time we see this in Scripture, but there's other things in Scripture that we only see maybe one time. And it's a hand that's writing on some words on a wall. And it scares him. And it scares the crowd. And it says the hand was writing and his face turned pale. Okay? And it means his face turned color. And then his thoughts were so terrified to him that he soiled himself. That had to be embarrassing. I don't know if you've ever been scared that much, but people have been scared enough to soil themselves, to faint, to different things. And so he is in a very bad place right now. And it says not only did he soil himself, and that his knees knocked together. And the king shouted to bring the mediums. Now here's what he does. He sees this going on, and then the hand dissipates. But the language is still on the wall. The words are still on the wall. He doesn't know what it means. And so the party is kind of shutting down here for a minute. Because if the king's not happy, nobody's happy. And the jolly mood went from a 10 down to a 1. And he now has soiled himself. And he is standing there. He does not know. Nobody's going to say anything. Nobody's going to laugh. Nobody's going to make a judgment on him, because if they do, you know what he can do, right? You're out of here. Take him outside. Take their head. Take him outside. Take him out. Nobody's going to say anything. He is the king. He is the high up. And his knees knocked together. And this is what he said. And the king shouted to bring in the mediums, the Chaldeans and the diviners. Now, remember last week we talked about the Chaldeans. Chaldeans were people who were, that word is translated as robbers, there's demons, darkness is spiritual. They messed around with the occult, a lot of the occult. And so he's not seeking God, he's seeking demonic. So he's into this, he's got the occult group coming in, right? And he said to them, he said to these wise men of Babylon, these were supposed to be the smartest guys in Babylon. That's what he says. He says this. Verse, he says, whoever reads this inscription and gives me its interpretation will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain around his neck and have the third highest position in the kingdom. To be the third highest position in the kingdom. Now, why would it be the third highest position? Well, this is what we know. He is not just the king. His father is the king. He is the king in play right now, because his father's out doing things. And what we see here is the only position, the next highest position that he can give away is the third highest position. And so we see that he is wanting to get himself out of trouble. He wants to sit there and listen. You can't buy yourself out of trouble. I don't care who you are. Okay? You really can't. Truth will come out. One way, one day or another, truth will come out. Truth will come out. Truth will come out. So money doesn't fix spiritual problems. Money doesn't fix spiritual problems. He said, I'll give you a gold chain. I'll give you a purple robe. I'll make you the third highest person in the nation. That's a pretty big gift, right? But you got to tell me what it means. And they couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And then walks the queen. Now reading all the scripture, the queen comes in and says, hey, Almighty King, Now, we believe there's a lot of things missing here in some scripture, but some people believe that this might be his mother, but she is a queen. And the queen says, hey, there's this guy that your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, dealt with and shared the story and said, his name is Daniel. He has knowledge beyond all. He worships this God, and he knows, he has insight that others don't have. And he says, your king, Nebuchadnezzar, your predecessor, put him above all the magicians and the people of knowledge and all those Chaldean people, because they couldn't figure out something for him. And he was able to share about these dreams and all those things. And so he sends for Daniel. And Daniel comes in and he says, are you the Daniel that worked under Nebuchadnezzar? And he begins to say these things. And so he says, listen, I'm going to give you a robe. I'm going to give you a great gold chain. I'm going to put you third in charge. All you got to do is tell me what's on the wall. Why is it that we struggle when we know we should know the answer, but we don't, but we seek the wrong people? He sought out the Chaldeans and the astrologists and all of them. But we always know there's a believer in our life, but we don't seek them out. He finally seeks them out because he has no place else to go. Sometimes people come to church because they have no place else to go. But you know what? It's okay. The doors are still open. So what we see here, he offers him gifts. Daniel answers in verse 17. Then Daniel answered the king, you may keep your gifts and give your rewards to somebody else. Wow. Wow. Huh. You can keep your gifts. I don't think Daniel had to do it. You notice Daniel wasn't at the party. They had to go get him. Sometimes you may not be at the party, but somebody gets in trouble and they need to come get you because you're the ride. Be available. Be available. Don't be surprised when God puts you in a situation where you need to help. And God's going to use you to help someone that's in a bad place. He says, the gifts, I don't care. He says, I don't care about the gifts, but I will read the inscription for the king and make the interpretation known to him, because God give him the insight. Your majesty, the most high God, gave sovereign greatness and glory and majesty to your predecessor Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to bring him back to the past. He's going to remind him of something that Belshazzar should know. That's what he says. Verse 19, because of the greatness he gave him, the greatness that God had given Nebuchadnezzar, all peoples and nations and languages were terrified and fearful of him. He killed anyone he wanted and kept alive anyone he wanted. He exalted anyone he wanted and he humbled anyone he wanted. But when his heart was exalted and his spirit became arrogant, which means prideful, he was deposed from the royal throne and his glory was taken from him. And he was driven away from people and his mind was like an animal. And he lived with the wild donkeys, and he was fed grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky. Basically, God, one day Nebuchadnezzar came out in the palace and said, wow, I am God. Look at all these names. Look at all this. I am God. And God says, I don't think so. And he ended up acting like a wild animal for a long time until he came to the place where he said, there is a God. There is God. It's not me. It's all God. And God restored him back to his kingship. And he said this, but he was driven away from the people. And he had the mind like an animal. And it says, from the sky until he acknowledged that the Most High God is ruler over human kingdoms and sets anyone he wants over them. He's sharing with Belshazzar the past of Nebuchadnezzar. And then he says this, but you. Now he's calling out Belshazzar. It's pretty tough to say something to a king, but you. But he was told, now his life could be taken, but Daniel is trusting in God. You go back to Daniel 1, he's a very young man, probably 15, 16 years old. We go to Daniel chapter 5, he's already served some kings right here. We believe he's probably in his late 70s. He's in his early 80s right here, about 80. Okay? So he's been living here for a long time. Seeing kings come and kings go. He says, but you, his successor, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. What he's saying is, you've not humbled yourself, even though you knew all about what I just told you about Nebuchadnezzar. You knew about it. You just didn't listen. How many times has somebody told you something, especially when you're growing up, this is what you don't need to do and this is what you need to do, especially parents, and you say, I don't care. How is it that we can think that if we have an addictive type personality in our family, that bloodlines a lot of addiction, that we can go into it and do things without getting into an addiction? Why is it that we don't listen and we don't pay attention to those? Listen, look at your parents. Look at their traits. It doesn't mean you're going to be like them, but you came from them. You should understand and know a little bit about them. Love them for who they are, but also know that they are not perfect, just like you and I. We're not perfect. My mother and father, I love them with all my heart. My father's passed on. There's some great things that I've learned from my father. Great things I've learned from my mother. Is there some things that I don't want to do that they did? Of course. Of course. But you learn. You need to learn from your family. You need to learn from your family. You need to learn from those around you so you don't repeat those things. But he didn't listen. Daniel says, you don't listen. But he didn't say it like he said, you not humbled yourself. You not humbled your heart, even though you knew all of this. He says, you knew this. You knew it. But you did it anyway. Remember what I said in the beginning. You can pick your sin. You can choose your sin. But you cannot choose your consequences. So what he did, right? Here it goes. He said, so usually what happens when you get in trouble, they tell you what you got in trouble for, right? Right? When you get in trouble, you go to court, they tell you, this is what you did. This is why you're here. So he says this. Instead, this is what Daniel says. Instead, you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heavens. That's number one. You put yourself above God. That's what you did. Number one. Number two, the vessels from his house. Remember, he took out those sacred objects, and he says, if the vessels from his house were brought to you as you and your nobles, wives, and concubines drank from them. That's number two. And you praised the gods of that were gods made of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or understand. Three things. He says, but you have not glorified God who holds your life breath. He says, you have not glorified the God who holds your life. The breath is in his hands and who controls the whole course of your life. You've not given glory or any gratitude toward God at all. You just live life because you just feel it's all about you. And you've done things and you've caused other people to sin too because you brought it out, and everybody in this room has sinned tonight and you let them into it. And you've not glorified God, you've not done anything. So he chose his own path, and he says, therefore, he sent the hand. And this is the writing he inscribed. So he says, therefore, God sent the hand and he inscribed on it. And this is what he wants to know. Belshazzar wants to know, what is written on the wall? What is written on the wall? You ever been in a foreign country, or you saw something, or maybe you went to the Chinese restaurant and opened your fortune cookie and looked at one side and you go, I can't understand that. You flip it over side and it says, hey, it's always good stuff. You're going to be blessed today. You're going to get a fortune today. You're a great person, right? When we look at that, we don't understand it because we don't know the language. You won't know the language unless somebody interprets it for you. And Daniel has that gift to interpret it. No one can interpret it. I kind of put it up like this. It's when a lost person is reading God's word, reading the Bible, and says, well, why don't I understand it? Because you're not supposed to understand it. You're not going to understand it until the Holy Spirit, and you become a believer and you begin to understand it, because the Holy Spirit speaks and you can listen, and it's interpreted to you by the Holy Spirit and by others who know the word of God. So this language didn't know, but this is what he says. This is what's written on the wall. He says, this is what is the writing on the wall. There's three things he says. Mene, Tekel, and Parson. Okay? So he says, this is the inscription of the message. Mene means that God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. What does that really mean? What does that really mean? What does that really mean? And I put it in just normal language. It means you're done. Your time is up. You're done. He says, that's what it means. God is writing on the wall. That hand wrote, your time is up. Your time is up. But that wasn't all. It says also, it says, tikel, means that you have been weighed on the balance and found deficient, which means you've been weighed on the scales and have been found wanting. That means, man, that's deep. If you know spiritual things, that is deep. For a believer, that would mean you're coming up short. This is not for the believer, but if it was for the believer, it'd be something like you're coming up short. You're not doing what God's called you to do. But here for him, it is something, it is to this piece here that you've been weighed. It is not good. Your time is short. You have not done the things that you should have done. And Peres means that your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And common language, which would mean you've been judged accordingly. You may have picked your sin, but these are your consequences. You've been judged accordingly, and your end is near. Someone else now will sit on the throne. You're done. You are finished. I don't think this is the only time things like this are said. People say when you share the gospel with people, I've heard people say, well, I'm just not ready to come to God. I'm not ready to come to Jesus today. Let me think about it for a minute. I don't think I'm ready. Maybe down the road in 15 years, let me do my thing. Every lost person will be weighed and found wanting. What is it that what is the wanting for a lost person is you've been weighed and you've been found wanting. Wanting what? You need a Savior. And there is only one. And he has been weighed and been found wanting. In fact, he didn't even disrespected God. Anybody ever, you got a house and you got your house and somebody just comes in and just takes your stuff and disrespects your house. These are things that were part of God's house and disrespected. And so we see here, he has been weighed. He's weighed. He's been found short. His time's coming to an end. And other people, and he didn't know this. He had a party of 1,000 people having a party. Verse 29. Then Belshazzar gave an order. Still king. He gave an order. And he clothed Daniel in purple. What? Wait a minute. I thought he didn't want it. Now you can say I don't want it, but if the king says you're taking it, guess what? You're taking it. So he is going to do what he's told to do. So he takes it, right? So he says, then Daniel, he said, he gave an order and they clothed Daniel in purple and placed a gold chain around his neck and issued a proclamation concerning him, and he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. You know what? That didn't come from him. That came God working through him. God used that king to bless God's man for speaking and doing what God wanted him to do. He didn't go to the party. He was at home. But he was going to go to the party, but not the party. He was going to go to the party and interpret what God put on the wall. Everybody else in that crowd was a hot mess. And God blessed him. I want to remind you that just right after this, Daniel's going to be thrown in the lion's den, okay? So Daniel's got some, he's going to be in the hot seat again because these guys back here, these Chaldeans and astrologers, all these guys, they don't like him because they talk about God. So they're going to set him up for failure. But right now here, Daniel is being given those things and he makes a proclamation which says, this man right here is now the third ruler of the kingdom. What he said, here it is. He's wearing the pendant. He's wearing the robe. You are to honor him, respect him. What happens? That very night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, almighty king Chaldeans, right, was killed. What? Sometimes God's prophecy isn't 50 years later. Sometimes God's prophecies are not 10 days later. Sometimes it's 10 minutes later. Sometimes it's the same day. And it says that very night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was killed. What? How? How? It says what? What? It says in Darius the Mede. Wait a minute. What do we see? What do we see? Look at your Bible back in verse 28. It says the Peres means your kingdom has divided and given to the Medes. Remember? All right? So he says this. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom at the age of 62. What? How did he get it? How did he take it over? They're having a big party. There's an army outside the fortress. Oh, our walls will work. Our walls will hold them back. All this time, they were breaking into the city. Yeah. When we're living a life in a party, sinful life, you usually don't even know what's going on around you. You can just barely keep your eyes on what's in front of you. And they swooped around, came in, and took him out and killed him. The party's over. People go drinking and driving. They go and they think they're having a great time. They're laughing in the vehicle. They're driving down the road. Boom. Party's over. And sometimes it's over for someone who wasn't even doing anything wrong. I'm going to do one more. Do 5 years or 5 months, 3 or 4 months of being clean and go out. I'm going to go to a party, think he can still use what they did before. And they go, the next thing they know, they don't get up. They're done. I'm going to, the party is over. Listen, when your breath, when you breathe your last, the party is over. It's done. There are no redos in life. There are no take backs. There are no, Lord, give me another five. No, when you're dead, it's over. You have one life, and life is a gift. God breathed into his creation and breathed life and give life to a man. Life is a gift. And we know what it's like to live life without him. And I'm going to say, how did that go for you? And we know what it's like to live life as a believer. And as a believer, we know what it's like to slip back into sin at times. How'd that go for you? Conviction, things started falling apart, this of you. And you know death is for all of us, but we know that through Christ, wow. Amen. Really at death, it's just the beginning. But Belshazzar, his party is over. His party is done. It reminds me that we must respect the things of God. This place has been prayed over many times. It has been anointed several times. We need to respect the things of God. I know now we always say, come as you are. You see me wear suits sometimes, but I'm not in here on suits all the time. You're not in your, and your, what we used to call the Sunday's best. And, you know, sometimes people bring in coffee and things. I get it, but don't forget, you need to respect the house of God. We don't drop F-bombs in the church, sir. I've heard it. Be careful what you say in the house. There is still a sacred place. There's still, I know, the Lord dwells in the the Spirit. It is the temple. This is the temple. But when we collect of ourselves together in a place, it's a holy place. So we need to make sure that we respect the things of God, that we respect the places of God. And we need to respect the people of God. King Belshazzar, I believe if he could do a redo, he would have done a redo real quick. But he thought he had all the time in the world. This story reminds us that we don't have all the time in the world. That our time will come, and we must be ready for it. And to be ready for it, I would say that we all need to make sure that we have been weighed on the scales, and we are good. And the only way to be good is only because you have Jesus Christ in your life. That's it. That's it. You don't get to heaven because you're good. You don't get to heaven. You don't get to be with the Lord because you were a church member. You don't get to heaven. No, you have to have a relationship with Him. You have to acknowledge that He is the Son of God. You have to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that He is the Savior of the world, that God is who He says He is, and Jesus is who He says He is. And you put yourself under His authority. As He gave His life, you give your life to Him. And if you don't have that salvation, then you can believe what you want, but you are being weighed on the scales as of today and all your days prior. Today, without Christ, you are still found wanting until the day you come to Christ. And the party's over. Father, Lord, we just pray, Father, tonight as we go through this part here, this altar call, we pray, Father, lift this time up to You that You may do Your work that only Your Spirit can do. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.